is not all about you.
It's not just about exchanging business cards.
Maybe it's not an answer.
Holler back with your work.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie.
When and how to ask for a promotion. How to even get started.
Everything I've given you is an absolute fact.
You're gonna give me my money.
It's just not smart. What up, homies?
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast. Woo-hoo!
Welcome back. We are on episode 30.
3-0.
Believe we've done 30 episodes. That's bananas.
Goodness is absolute goodness. And today's episode is about when and how to ask for a promotion. And this episode, go ahead.
Can I get some more money?
Now.
Today, starting with the next check.
So the way that this topic came about is in the last 2 months, we've had one homie reach out to us who had recently changed jobs and met a rock star homie at his organization and then was saying, hey, I want to go work on his team now. And then about a month later, we had another homie who he is out on medical leave. He recently had surgery. And while he is out on medical leave, he wanted to ask his boss for a raise.
And so that sort of prompted us to think about, you know, when is a good time to ask for a raise. So we'll talk about first, when is a good time to ask for a raise? And then we'll talk about how to ask for a raise. So I'm assuming that I felt like there was a little sarcasm in your voice. You don't think it's a good time to ask for a raise when you're out on leave?
No, I do not. So I would say, first of all, you need to be at work while you're asking for a raise. You need to actually be working.
You should be working.
You should be working.
For a raise.
So if you recently had surgery or you recently had a baby or you're out on bereavement leave, if you're on leave at any time, that is not the right time to ask for a raise. Another poor timing.
Oh, go ahead.
I say another poor timing to ask for a raise would be when you just recently received a raise or a promotion within the last 3 to 6 months. I don't think that that's also a good time to ask for a raise. What are your thoughts timing wise?
So I have three thoughts on, or three tips on the best time to ask for a raise. One, I think there's a misnomer that the time to ask for a raise is during your annual review. I think that's a terrible time to ask for a raise because it's usually already decided by the time you get there. So if you wait until you're in your annual review to ask for the raise, usually the comp committee has already met. They've already gone through the brain damage. They've already thought about what they're going to give you. So I would say the more appropriate time is about 3 months before your review, mm-hmm. if you want to ask, because you want to be on the same cycle as the organization. So by the time you get in the review, they've already decided that you deserve 2%. And so what you're asking now is to appeal their decision. And that's a much more difficult. It's a much more uphill battle of getting. So if you feel like it's time for a raise, I would say the most ideal time is 3 months before your annual review, right after you've finished a major project where you've done something really successful and you've added you had a really major impact or value. And it's not some isolated thing for you. Not like you've been having really poor performance and then you had this great, but that's like a culmination of a lot of great hard work. And then my third thing is when you took on some major hard to staff assignment or stretch assignment or something like that and knocked it out the park.
Right. So we've got the timing down. And I think I would have never thought about that, but I like that 3 months before your review, because like you said, I love that you're not doing an appeal. The second thing is, how do you do that? Where do you start? How do you even get started? There's a great website called Glassdoor. And what it allows you to do is you go to Glassdoor, it'll allow you to put in what your position is, the city that you live in, years of experience, education, and it'll tell you, this is what mechanical engineers in your city that have 4 or 5 years of experience earn on an average basis.
Right. So after you have decided on the timing and you're ready to ask for a raise, I think the first tip that we're trying to say is do your homework. right? So you're saying go to Glassdoor and do your homework, right?
I'm saying, like, what does the market say? And
that's,
you cannot...
That's what I mean by homework. You got to know... Let me finish my tip. So you got to know what information... Like, information is going to be your best friend in connection with it. So this idea of just walking in the door and thinking you're just going to haggle it down like you're in the... you're at the, you know, car wash with the guy negotiating is not how you get your raise.
It's to find out what is a fair number and what that number looks like before you can even start to prepare your case. You cannot ask your coworkers. I want to say this twice. You cannot ask your current coworkers, like, what do you make, to see if what you're making is fair and how much you should be asking. So this Glassdoor website and doing some research on just what is a fair number is a fantastic place to start.
So in connection with knowing what other people make, yes, Glassdoor is a great resource in connection with, you know, preparation. If you are a public employee, and I don't think a lot of people get this, if you work for the government, usually salaries are public. So you can figure out what your coworkers make because it is available online. Almost all people who work for the state or work for a public school in academia, all of that, it's readily available. So you can look and see what people make. If you work in a law firm, there are lots of websites. There's lots of sort of blogs and all of that that will tell you what associates make in your area if you're looking to relocate or something like that, or if you want to compare what the firm is paying third year associates or fifth year associates. All of that is on usually on greedyassociates.com. They usually have all of that. The more information you have, the better you're ready to prepare your case.
And in that same order, for the homies who work at nonprofits, their non-90s tax filings are always online. And so you can see what an executive director of a $30 million nonprofit makes versus the executive director at a $15 million nonprofit. So again, what we're trying to say is you can't just pull the number out the air. Like, the number that you have in mind needs to come from somewhere and have some basis. Once you've decided that it's good timing, you know what a good number is, then I think you have to prepare your case. Demetra alluded to this a little bit earlier. You need to make a list of all of your accomplishments since you've worked there, and you need to start with your most recent and work your way backwards. And then this is something that I think particularly the female homies have trouble with. You need to be specific when you're preparing your case. So you can't just say, I increased profits or I led a successful project. You gotta be very detailed as to what those accomplishments, what your contribution and your role was for that.
My next tip would be, are there any alternative benefits that they can give you instead of actual money? Like, if you're generally happy at work and you know that when you do the what if analysis that you are not in a place that you're going to just bounce if they don't give you that, then you should consider what are some other benefits that you could negotiate if your request for a raise is denied. I think one of the big mistakes that people make in negotiating is that they overfocus, and so they miss other opportunities to create values for themselves. You know, one of the big perks I think that people forget is vacation days, is more vacation, is, you know, another week of vacation, or the ability to work from home, like get a more flexible schedule, things like that, that could end up giving you a lot more happiness at work that isn't just money.
Right. That's a great point. And then I would say my next tip is you've got to use the right language. When you're actually talking with them about the raise, you need to make it about the organization and how you, what you've done, how you've grown, what value you plan to bring to the organization in the future. One of the phrases that I like to use when asking for anything is, I'd like to open a dialogue, in this case, about increasing my compensation by X percent. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so one of the ways I think that you really do that, and I couldn't agree with you more, is practice your negotiation with someone, is talk through your points with someone so that you can hear how it sounds on a listener, the effect or impact on the listener. And so if you will do a sort of, you know, as cheesy as it sounds, but sort of mock negotiation, then this kind of preparation will help you practice saying the words. And it, and sometimes you think you're speaking in terms of the organization, but really you're still just talking about you. And then you can get that feedback from a friend so that you can kind of tweak your language before you get in there.
Yeah, I actually had a young man one time that was working for me that came in my office about 6 o'clock on a Friday and was like, hey, next week I want to talk about, you know, getting a raise. And I thought to myself, is this the way he wants to have a conversation about his career at 6 o'clock in passing on a Friday evening? And I said, sure. I mean, we can talk about it, but, you know, let's schedule some time for it, blah, blah, blah. He says, yeah, because my cousin makes $90,000 and he's a commercial banker up in so-and-so. And I thought, what is what his cousin's compensation have to do with anything? So that's what I mean by using the right language. I was like, that's not a place that you want to start. Us talking about what somebody else makes in another state at a different bank. I just thought the whole thing was awkward and weird and poorly communicated.
And not tied to his performance, which is what your compensation should be. And so that actually ties nicely into my next point, which is schedule your meeting wisely. Like how you schedule and when you schedule your compensation meeting, you should be very thoughtful about that. Schedule a private meeting, right? Don't schedule it on a day when the person has, you know, you don't want to schedule a meeting with your supervisor to discuss compensation on a day that they have a big presentation, on a day that they have to be in court, on the day before they're trying to get out for vacation. So you want to have some idea of what their calendar looks like. You know, like you said, you don't even want to try to schedule it at the water cooler in the situation you're saying. So how you schedule and when you schedule the meeting, you need to be very wise about that.
Right. And like you said, using the right language in terms of making it about you, your performance, what you bring to the table, not because Johnny makes something else and you think that that's what you should be making. I just don't think that that is the right way that you want to, the way you want to do that at all.
Okay, so that takes me into my next one, which is be specific with your request. So once you're in the meeting, you know, you want to tell your employer, it's sort of like in the example that you gave, your specific figure of what you're looking to make. And that should be based on the earlier homework that you did, which was our first tip. And then explain to them how you arrived at your number so that you're not just like you said, oh, my cousin or I heard Tina down the road is making, because that won't get you there. You know, you want to be, you know, very intentional, but it should be so steeped in, you know, actual statistics and value that it makes sense. We have a good book on this in the store. Getting mm-hmm. to Yes, Negotiate an Agreement Without Giving In. And it's by Roger Fisher, William Ury, and Bill Patton. That's in there. I think that's incredibly important, how you negotiate. We recently had a homie that we were assisting about that, and she did a sort of practice negotiation with us. And what we found is her request was all steeped in her own self. So she was saying things to us in the consultation like, you know, for this promotion, I want to be able to hire a nanny. I want to be able to go more on vacations. And we had to stop her and say, like, that's cool. And that makes perfect sense to us. But none of that can be communicated back to the organization. That's not why they're going
to
give you a raise. They're not going to give you a raise so that you and your husband can live a more cush life.
And I think, you know, which brings you to my next point is when you're negotiating, your opening number cannot be your final number. You need to know what you want to open with, what's going to be your bottom number, what's going to be in the middle. And then you need to already be prepared to overcome some objections in that meeting. So you need to think about what are some things why they might say no or not yet or what have you. So you need to already have an idea of what those objections will be so you know how you want to respond, because it will be rare that you're going to schedule a meeting, proactively ask for a raise, and the response is going to be, okay,
absolutely,
sure,
right. Yes, and
no worries. We'll get that put into accounting tomorrow.
I'm so glad you asked. All you had to do was ask me, Mitra. So glad you did. And so to me, that takes me to my next point, which is you're going to have to be ready. And I think this is not, it is always true, like when you're in your review and asking for a raise or any of that, you've got to be really careful about your body language and your tone and all of that, because there's going to be objections. You can't go in there thinking I have uncontrovertible evidence, right? Like everything I've given you is an absolute fact. And some of that, if you struggle with that, there's also a book in the Corporate Homie store about executive presence and sort of how you give yourself off. Because remember, you're in there asking to be taken to the next level. And so everything about you in the meeting, this is what we're saying, how you schedule it, what you ask for, how you respond should be indicating that I'm ready for the next level and the next level person is ready to overcome objections.
That's right. That's right. That is absolutely right. The other thing that I want to remind the homies is that 75% of all conversations where people come in and ask for a raise result in some type of salary bump. So this statistic is on your side. Mind you, I did not say that everybody gets the raise that they ask for.
Want. They don't get what they want, but they get some type of raise, which is why you need to have the data and the range that you can be happy with, right? That you're not so like, it's got to be $40,000, and if they offer me $38,900, I'm walking. You have to know. One of the other things I have to say this, I think it goes without saying, but I don't think everyone's mindful of, especially right now, you need to know where the organization stands and be a good listener. So if your organization just laid off 20,000
people,
right? If they just laid off 20,000 people and you make the cut, I'm not going to say that that's never a time to be offered a raise, because it might be, because you might be the one that has to like pick up slack. But if they start saying that, then you have to really listen and show that you're listening. And to me, the best way to show that you're listening to someone is paraphrase back to them in the meeting what they just said. So you can say something like, it sounds like there's not much room in the budget for a raise. However, stuff like that. Or what I mean by that is, don't say things like, yeah, but, because that's defensive. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, but you have to say things like, I understand that we're going through some major challenges right now. You have to say like, I heard you. I understand. I know where the organization is.
Which is also why having non-monetary asks that can be wins are equally important, because sometimes there are no dollars for a raise because the organization cannot afford that. It's not that somebody is trying to send you a message that you're not worth that. It's that the organization is not solvent enough at this moment in time to do that. But there may be other ways that they can show value back to you and make you happy.
So, and then that takes us to like, so if you are actually just denied, right? They're not going to give you a raise. They're not giving you another week of vacation. They're not giving you anything.
No.
There's just a no. It's a hard no. Then you need to be you need to find a way to be respectful of the decision. I certainly think it's appropriate to ask why the raise is not an option and ask for help in understanding the reasoning behind the decision. Because remember, you want to put the person, the manager, the boss, whatever, in a more positive role. And then I definitely think you want to iterate your goal to keep up with market value and ask for next step, right? Give them a chance to say, well, where do we go from there? Because that also leaves people with the idea, at least, that you are still, committed to the organization. Even if you're not, you don't want to leave. You don't want the person to leave the meeting feeling like you're so angry that you're out, because what if you actually can't be out? Even if that is your actual desire, if you're not able to pull it off, then what happens? And I just had this happen to a young homie. She went in to talk to someone about a raise, and before she could get the opening sentence out, a promotion / raise, they said, how's your job search going?
So
that, of course, changed the whole dynamic of the conversation. And so basically her manager was sort of saying like, we're not looking at you for a raise. We're not looking at you for a promotion, because I thought you was out.
So I have seen something happen to a young homie where, and she had every right to be upset. In her review, her manager had promised her that there will be the organization doesn't have the capacity to give you what you deserve right now. So like, it was one of those like, we're going to give you 2% in March, and then in June, we're going to do another whatever. And then June came and that didn't happen. She got a new manager in between there. Her manager still worked for the organization. She went back to the new manager and said, hey, this is what was promised to me. It's June, this is what I was agreed to. And they said, yeah, well, now times have changed and we can't do that. And she just blew up the spot. Oh, no, you're not. You're going to give me my money and blah, blah, blah. They did. But now she has a reputation as being like she can never again have a proactive conversation about compensation, because she acted such I'm going to say how I feel, is such a fool, that they were like, fine, you can have this money. Don't ever ask us for anything again in life, essentially.
And that's what I was saying about the book is helpful, because it's telling you, how to do that without, to me, the way a negotiation goes extremely well is when everyone feels like they gave up a little bit more than they wanted, but they don't feel pissed off about it. Getting what you want, and I have had this conversation with so many homies, getting what you want at the expense of the other person wanting you to die is not success.
No.
It is if you never have to work with them again. But if you're talking about we are moving forward in a relationship going forward, that's not smart. It's just
that's not smart.
There's nothing smart about that.
No, it isn't. And so
I just want to...
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So how has it been when you ask for raises?
So, you know, I, you know, work in a very different environment where a lot of it has been lockstep. But certainly since I've made partner, I've had to do more of negotiation. And for me, I have had to use a lot of these tips. I have had, and I have had years where I didn't feel like my compensation was where it needs to be. And I'm not sure that I always feel like my comp, you know what I mean? There are years I felt like my compensation was great and there are years I felt like it wasn't. That's another approach that I guess we didn't talk about is I always try to take the long-term view with the organization, right? Sometimes I'm winning, sometimes they're winning, and not to get so consumed on the now, but like in the grand scheme of our long history together, are we playing pretty equal, not just in these last 10 months?
Right. Yeah. Same for me. I've basically proactively come in and not big promotion, but what I have done is said, here's where my career is. Here's where I would like for my career to go. This is what I think that should look like from a leadership opportunity, complexity of the types of clients I'm getting an opportunity to interact with, and then from a monetary perspective, what do I need to work on to help me get to these three things is essentially what I've done and was able to turn that into a promotion in pretty short order because then they started looking for these types of opportunities for me in other cities. But I haven't because the bank is similar to a law firm. It has more of a structured review and compensation process. And it was kind of an unwritten rule that you only got one time to do that. And you never get to do it again in your career.
Right. So we gave a lot of information. I just want to kind of quickly summarize. First of all, the timing of asking for a raise, be actually at work and working. Try not to ask for a raise in your review, but maybe 3 months before your review. And then maybe after you've done a stretch assignment or finished a big project, you know, done a big assignment and done something really well or done a stretch project. Then once you are actually decided to move forward with asking of the raise, first thing first, do your homework. Make sure you have asked yourself about the alternative of, you know, would you be happy? What if they don't give you the raise? Consider alternative benefits. Know what your parameters are for your number. Be specific in your number. Practice your negotiation with someone so you have some things like that. Schedule your meeting wisely. Look and act like someone who deserves a raise. And that is, we talked about that when balancing your tone and your language. And be specific in your request. Have your actual dollar figure or percentage available or range of figure available. And then finally, oh, well, now it's two more. Be a good listener. Make sure you are actually understanding what the organization is saying about that. And then finally, know how you're going to handle it if you're actually denied a raise.
All right. So hopefully we'll get lots of feedback from the homies saying that they all got raises and promotions after listening to this podcast.
Right. And I, you know, I'm always the one, I think, quoting, you know, the books because I do want to emphasize that when you are embarking upon activities like this, if you think it important enough to get yourself a raise, then read a book, like on whatever the topic is. Don't just rely on some 15-minute podcast and a quick conversation. Spend a little time on your career. That's what this is all about, invest in yourself. So as always, we always appreciate homies sending us topics. If there's any episode or topic that you would like us to discuss, feel free to reach out. You can find us at corporatehomie.com or we are on all social media platforms at Corporate Homie, and homie is HOMIE.
Right.
And thank you so much for listening.
And until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
The All of You Get You a Twin. Get you another homie.